Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe today. Again, the biggest story of the year, probably, within this Titans team. Titans have fired general manager John Robinson in the middle of the season, even though the Titans are 7-5, even though the Titans are winning the division, even though the Titans are hosting a playoff game. They have parted ways with John Robinson. So I want to get into, how does that decision affect the team right now? Because I can make the argument that Todd Downing getting a DUI a few weeks ago, the players probably look at that and they're like, we don't care. You know, that's your business. That doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. Firing the general manager in the middle of the season, when you play in a handful of days, well, that affects the team. That affects the psyche of the owner, basically sending the message to the team that, hey, we don't think that you're good enough. Even though you have a winning record and you're going to win the division, we don't think you're good enough, so we're going to fire the general manager. We think that you guys stink. How does that affect the team right now? What message does that send to the team right now? And what's stopping the team from saying, you know what, screw you guys. If you don't think we're good enough, if you're going to fire our GM in the middle of the season because you don't think that we're performing well enough, screw you.
Yeah, it's a shocker, I would have to say. And that's why I asked you, Derek, like I said, this is unprecedented. So I think about, what is the GM's presence? He's around the team a lot. John Robinson, I think, is a little bit more hands-on. We've seen clips of him on the field, even participating in drills sometimes. Not every GM does that. Mm-hmm. A lot of GMs are in suits. You know, they're sitting up on a tower somewhere or in an office watching. So I do wonder what the discussions in the locker room are about with this. What is the reaction in the locker room? It's got to be surprising. It's got to be very surprising.
I'm sure it is surprising.
I'm surprised.
Everybody
is surprised.
Yeah. That's why I'm surprised that, and maybe it was a mandatory day off for coaches where they didn't have to, do any media, or wasn't obligated to do any media, or couldn't. But I wonder why they didn't just do the press conference yesterday at some point in the evening. Because today, I said this yesterday, Willie, today is Jacksonville. Now, instead of it being about Jacksonville, it's about John Robinson, which brings a distraction to everybody in the building. Because now, this is the first time that everybody in the building has been together since the firing of John Robinson. Now, they walk into that building. The first conversation, as soon as those guys walk through that door in a locker room, man, what happened? Nobody's talking about Jacksonville. Nobody. Nobody in that locker room is talking about Jacksonville when they first walk in that building.
And what does Mike Vrabel, what does this team, the idea that they constantly reiterate is, don't do dumb stuff that hurts the team. Mm-hmm. We don't care about distractions. We're focusing on the game. We're taking one week at a time, one game at a time. Well, this is a massive distraction that takes everyone's minds off of Jacksonville when you're mm-hmm. in the middle of the season playing a divisional game on Sunday.
Yeah,
right, you're right.
And he's not involved in the game plan and everything. So, you know, on one
hand.
But
it's still a distraction.
It is a distraction. And sometimes when you change coaches midstream, you're looking for that shock. You're, mm-hmm. Like you're looking for that jolt to get you back in the groove. Like we've talked a lot before this happened about how disappointing it's got to be to not be able to play to your identity, do what you do well, like physically up front. That's got to be tough to deal with. They're just not winning the battles on the line of scrimmage. Now, there's reasons for that we've discussed. You got a banged up offensive line. Mm-hmm. You've got Jeffrey Simmons basically playing on one leg. You're missing Danico Autry, all of these things.
But even right? But with the injuries, I still think this team has played to its identity. This team has still played really tough, even though they right. haven't won the games that they against some of the better teams in the league, the Bengals and the Eagles and the Bills. They still play to that identity.
How crazy is it, Derek, that I hit you with the questions, you and Chase, on Monday about where you guys thought the team would be? And Caroline, I'll ask you. If I'd have told you all of the things that happened, right, this I was the Back to the Future, right? I got in the DeLorean, and I was sitting there after the game on Sunday, and then I went back in time to September, Labor Day weekend. You guys were chilling at the pool, and I come in from the DeLorean. I say, here's what's happened, guys. the Titans have had Harold Landry. He's out for the season. Mm-hmm. Torn ACL. Taylor Lewan, out for the season. Second game. Not going to play. Ryan Tannehill's going to have a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss two games. He's going to be hindered for the next month. Still dealing with it. Derrick Henry's going to be good, not Superman. I went down the list. I could go on for a lot of things. Here's all they're dealing with. What would you think their record would be? And I think we would all be honest, if we're being honest, 7-5 is about right. That would be good. Like, oh, 7-5? Okay.
Yeah. I picked the Titans to go 10-7 at the beginning of the season.
Okay, and that's what I did as well. So they're sort of right on pace.
Very fair to what they'll end up being.
So it's not like they're way underachieving. That's why this is really puzzling to me.
They're making the playoffs.
To do this now.
Yes. Yeah. It is.
After the season, if you want to be hardcore and say, look, it's not good enough, we want to win the Super Bowl, you want to go kind of George Steinbrenner? Okay, people have done that before, right? I get that. I'm not on board with that philosophy, but I get it.
Let's go to your
During the season, I don't get it.
Let's go to your phones for lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tristan is up next.
Hello?
Tristan? Yes, thank you for taking my call. The big deal with John Robertson, he gave that big contract to Ryan Tannehill. Like, why didn't they, like cut the salary of Ryan Tannehill? Like, he's not a big-time quarterback like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford. That's one problem with John Robertson, that he gave that massive contract to Ryan Tannehill.
Well, if they were so upset with the contract with Ryan Tannehill, then why not fire him whenever he signed that contract with Ryan Tannehill?
They gave him an extension after that.
And look, Ryan Tannehill, say what you will, he's not a Superman, but he's been a savior. The trade of Ryan Tannehill is where you put at the top of the list of John Robinson buoying the team up to the next level.
And
true?
Also, after Deshaun Watson, after Kyler Murray, the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL is $45 million a year. Ryan Tannehill does not make anywhere close to that.
Right.
I know he's not an elite quarterback. I know he's not a Deshaun Watson, but neither is Kyler Murray, and that's how much he's making.
Right, and the cap hit is huge this year because they moved it back to make the Julio Jones trade,
which was a bad decision
that
they made, yet John Robinson still got extended after that move.
Exactly.
So anything that happened, the Ryan Tannehill contract extension, which I don't think has anything to do with this.
No.
Julio Jones, Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson, any of that. None of that has anything to do with
the Isaiah Wilson debacle. And it was a debacle.
A debacle.
It was over and done and put to bed way before they signed him to the 5-year extension.
Listen, if this was based on, and you know, Tristan brought up, oh, they gave Ryan Tannehill all that money. He's not even ranked in the top 10 as far as quarterback money. He's not even ranked in the top 10.
And he's not a top 10 quarterback.
Exactly. But I'm saying it was just the going rate of a starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And in today's football, it's good to be a quarterback. Because if you are the starter, and if you've been starting for a few years and you've won some games, say you're Ryan Tannehill, which we're talking about now. You've been with this team since what, 2016? And you've been to the playoffs all but what, 1 year you've been here, 1 or 2 years you've been here?
Two.
This is what they got to pay you. And when your winning percentage is the way it is, they got to pay you this amount of money.
And compared to the market,
this is cheap.
So when Tannehill took over, they've made the playoffs every year.
But this is cheap considering being a starting quarterback on a team that has done what the Titans have done over the last 5 or 6 years. This is a bargain for them.
He's 36-17 since he took over as the starter. That's a feather in John Robinson's cap, a fourth-round pick to get a starting quarterback 36-17. I know he's flawed. He's not a great quarterback. That was a huge move.
It's got nothing nothing to do with Tannehill. But we will hear from Mike Vrabel in just under 30 minutes. We will play it live here on 102.5 The Game. We'll get your reaction in live time. What do you want to hear from Mike Vrabel in his press conference? What questions do you want answered? We'll get right to your phones. Plus, we'll answer that question coming up next. But first, D-Mace wants to tell you about Cool Springs MD.
Absolutely, Caroline. Cool Springs MD. I need to tell you about them, man. I know you're listening. So a sort of gloomy, rainy day. You're in your cars listening to us, or you're at work listening to us, or you could be in the gym room. So I want to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. That's including me, people. My energy was low. Wasn't feeling right, went to Cool Springs MD, bam, I'm back to normal. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle, people. So what are you waiting on, man? Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment. You will not regret it. Here's the number, 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458. So if you're having trouble moving around, don't have that energy, call Cool Springs MD or go to their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, Caroline Fenton, in for Chase McCabe. We will hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium in 20 minutes. We will play that press conference live, so we'll get your live reaction in live time. Straight to your phones, as promised. Sean is up next on Sean Robinson. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. I just got a couple quick ones, and then I'll hang up and listen. I've always put J-Rob in, like, the middle of the pack, maybe upper middle class of the pack as far as GM. So if, I can't help but think that there's just something we don't know yet. We keep weighing out all the good and bad things he's done in the list since yesterday. But I don't know, in the back of my mind, it just keeps creeping up that there's just something that just happened that we don't know yet. And that brings me to number two. As far as the press conference and Vrabel, I mean, if we find out what color pants Robinson was wearing this morning, it'll be more than we usually get out of Vrabel at the press conference. So anything at all would be nice. But I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Sean. To his first point about there has to be more going on, I 100% agree. Because mm-hmm. I think that there are two situations that could be possible. One, it was simply about A.J. Brown. And Amy Adams Strunk was so flustered about that Eagles game that she thought it was worthy of firing John Robinson despite a winning record. That's one possibility. Mm-hmm. But I believe in Amy Adams Strunk more than that. I think that she is a smarter and better businesswoman than that. Or there is more. Mm-hmm. And there was something going on behind the scenes, whether it was an internal feud that had gotten so bad between John Robinson and Vrabel that Vrabel got to the point where he said, Amy, I hammer me. I can't do it anymore. Or if there was something else that was going on. But I think those are the two probable options. It was either an overreaction from Amy Adams Strunk, or there's something that we don't know.
Well, if it was an overreaction, then we have huge problems. And I don't want to believe that is indeed the case. But because we don't know them, we may never know. And, you know, then you're, you know, you got to sort of take the role that seems more plausible to you, mm-hmm. you know, or to us. And, you know, whereas I don't want to believe that is the truth. But if that is, or if
then
it,
that's concerning.
It's very concerning that you would make a knee-jerk reaction like that with an owner that has been nothing but stellar. Again, I know we can point at, you know, at his drafts or his free agencies, pickups, but it's not like we don't see this from other GMs, but we just don't follow the other GMs, and we don't care about the other GMs, so we don't care how, other than maybe Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Houston, we see how they're going, and we don't want to be those three teams right now. We don't care about other GMs.
But I mean, I would say there are a few other GMs in the league that are on the hot seat. I would say Steve mm-hmm. Keim, one of yeah. them, Arizona Cardinals GM. But the Cardinals have a losing record. Mickey Loomis, Saints mm-hmm. GM, is probably on the hot seat. The Saints have a losing record. I mean, those are all GMs and teams that have been going down this spiral of poor decision-making that has come to fruition on the field. And that's not the case with John Robinson.
But even with those GMs, you can say, well, in the Saints situation, well, he's won a championship, you know, since he's been, he was there with Sean Payton.
It's been so long.
But I understand it's been long, but they were one of the upper echelon organizations for a 7-year period. You know, from the time Drew Brees got there and got himself, and he and Sean Payton got on the same page, to the day he retired. This was a franchise that was always competing to play in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, they may have had some down years here and there, but for the most part, like John Robinson, they were always in the playoffs, more than likely. They were always competing. They were always the teams that we were talking about. Before John got here, we were not talking about this Titans team. Since he's been here, well, while he was here, we have been talking about. Now, it's not like he's flawless. He has his flaws. But I don't think his flaws were to a point where we fire him Tuesday morning out of the blue.
No, absolutely not.
Some people may think it is, but I'm just looking at the drafts. I'm looking at the free agencies. Everybody don't hit on every pick. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't hit on every free agent signing. You know, so it wasn't just that. It had to be more to it, or more people to it.
There has to be more to the story. But to the caller's second point about Mike Vrabel tells us what color pants John Robinson was wearing yesterday, that'd be more information than we ever get. I will say this in terms of expectations for Mike Vrabel's press conference, and y'all correct me if you think I'm off base here. This is not a press conference that Mike Vrabel can simply shrug off questions from the media. This is not a press conference that Mike Vrabel can simply coach speak his way out of or avoid the difficult questions. I mean, we deserve answers about what happened and what's the plan moving forward. What was the driving force behind this decision? And I know that there's going to be information that the Titans want to keep in-house, of course. But my expectation for Mike Vrabel here, and maybe it's not fair for Mike Vrabel to answer these questions, but he's the one that's speaking to the media. So
yeah.
People deserve answers. And
it is fair for him. He needs to answer.
Isn't fair.
Yeah.
But Amy's not going to speak.
Well, I'm curious if they had a discussion yesterday when they did this, whether to have a press conference yesterday. They mm-hmm. maybe say 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the mm-hmm. afternoon, where they had time to, okay, we've made this decision. Let's gather around. Let's talk about it. Let's get our talking points, and let's get out front of this, and let's just face the music today. Because Wednesday is your normal press conference where you got injury report, you're talking about the opposition, and today we're going to get to none of that. Mm-hmm. Right? They've put it off until today. And, of course, the owner isn't going to speak, so it's all on the shoulders of Mike Vrabel here.
And the players. The players are going to have to answer these questions, too.
That's a great point. I hadn't even, but yeah, and they had nothing to do with this.
Exactly.
But they're going to be asked about it, for sure. So I do wonder if they considered having a press conference yesterday to get it all out yesterday so you can say, hey, look, we've answered those questions. We're now moving forward. We have to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a big game. We're trying to win a division title here.
Instead, they were radio silent yesterday.
So that's two incidents in a matter of 3 weeks that, you know, this organization has been put not in a good light, mm-hmm. but it's been put in a bad light. Obviously, the Downing thing brought unwarranted, you know,
publicity.
Eyes of publicity,
negative publicity, or
a distraction. It brought unwarranted distraction to this team. Now they handled it pretty good, but then 2 weeks later, the owner fires the GM. Now the owner, no one can talk to the owner right now. So who has to fill in the questions of these answers? The head coach and the players. Again, another distraction that they have to deal with going into a critical week, a game that I think they need to win.
Absolutely.
This is
for an organization that hates distractions. Coming next, we are right to your phones, plus Mike Vrabel's press conference in 15 minutes. How do we expect Mike Vrabel to face the media? Chase, Willie, D-Mace is brought to you by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results.
All right, let's talk Lee Company as well as we get to the break. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of our Nashville Predators coverage. That resumes tomorrow in Tampa. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the opponent. Ryan McDonagh injured. A lot to deal with for the Predators for sure. That's the next adventure for them. They'll be heading down to Tampa today. Our coverage tomorrow on game day starts at 5 o'clock, face-off at 6. Lee Company also has great services for you. General maintenance at home or at work. You got a maintenance issue, you don't have a maintenance department. I know I don't in my house. I am not Mr. Fix-It. So I have the phone number all ready to go. 615-567-1000 or make an online appointment by going to LeeCompany.com. They have great services for you. Don't forget the bread and butter, as I call it, the heating, the cooling, the plumbing, and electric systems of your home. Stay on top of it. Stay ahead of the curve. Get those annual checkups with their home maintenance plan. It will work for you. It's going to save you money over the long term, and you'll get discounts on repairs when needed. 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com.
Tune in for the NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sunny's Patio Pub and Refuge located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Dee Mace from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Mike Vrabel, in less than 10 minutes, we will carry that press conference live, so we will get your reaction in live time, plus our reactions as well. My question to you both and to the texters, the callers, to ponder before going into this press conference is, how do we expect Mike Vrabel to approach this press conference? How do we expect him to approach questions from the media? Because I can only tell that Mike Vrabel wants this to be about Jacksonville and Jacksonville only. He wants to talk ball. He wants to talk about what's going on this Sunday. But we know that's absolutely not going to be the
case. And he knows it. He knows he's got to be ready for this. This is a big one.
Mm-hmm. So how does he approach it? How does he answer these questions from the media?
Will he
continue
ready
to dismiss the questions like he does in the past?
Will I don't
he continue
think so.
To coach speak it?
I don't think so. I think you're going to get a dialed in Mike Vrabel.
He
knows this is going to be very important. Well, there's going to be some coach speak.
He's
going
to try his best to give coach speak unless people press him for answers. That's the only way he's going to give more.
I also think 5 years ago, he probably would not have been ready for this. I think now he's been through this so long as a head coach. Mm-hmm. I think now he knows how important it is, and he knows he's got to be on point today with what he wants to say. You know, I don't think we're going to get the answers we want, but I think he is going to come out of it. Like, I thought he handled the Downing thing pretty well.
I would agree. And I said at that time that was probably the most difficult press conference that Mike Vrabel has had to conduct. Mm-hmm. Today is going to be the most difficult press conference that Mike Vrabel has ever answered questions
and
about.
In the Downing thing, he had the ability to say, legally, this is what I can't discuss.
Uh-huh.
This is not a legal thing. Like, he's going to be pressed on, hey, were you on board with this? Were you not on board with this? I think we're going to try to pin him down. He's got to be ready to sort of thread the needle, to not throw his boss under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to take some accountability, too. And John Robinson was the guy that hired Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to try to be appreciative of the good things about John Robinson. I think he's going to – that's what I think he'll pivot to a lot of times, to say, mm-hmm, John did a great job to get us to this point.
They can't let him
pivot
that's to
it. This is like the debate, right? We always talk about debates. This is the back and forth of press conferences.
To your point about in the Todd Downing press conference when he could say, oh, well, that's a legal matter, I fear that Mike Vrabel will defer to – well, that's a
Amy.
Question
you gotta ask
for
Amy.
Amy.
You got
to
ask Amy.
You're going to have to ask Amy.
And he could do that.
He can do that, but that's going to be frustrating. That's only going to leave more questions for us, for the fans, for everybody around the league, everybody that's looking at the Titans like, why did you make this move? Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Cedric is up next.
Hey, what's going on? So, Derek, I talked to you about this a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. This roster is littered with players that nobody fears. This defenses don't have to scheme up for these guys. We're 0-3 in our last playoff games, and we're throwing the ball at the end of the game to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Khalif Raymond. We let Corey Davis walk for the same money that you paid Robert Woods. We're getting blown out in the Bills game, the Eagles game. And this is a roster. I said this yesterday to Carolyn and Jerry. This is a roster that is built. If we were in any other division in the AFC, we would have a losing record the last 3, 4, 5 years, and we would never make the playoffs. I think it's time that we give Amy Adams Strunk credit for making big boy moves in this market with a new stadium coming. The draft was here. And finally, we're not little old Tennessee, good old boys, all shucks. She made a move to make our team better. I love you, Amy. Thank you from this fan. Yeah, man, keep it coming, man. I'm getting my season tickets back. I love it. Holler.
I mean, I disagree. Okay. He has every right to feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, he's a ticket season. Well, he said he will be a ticket season holder again. So, obviously, he's been to plenty of Titan games, and he's paid a bunch of money to park and all this other stuff. So, he's invested. I get it.
Fans have every right
to
feel home.
You're invested.
Like,
I get it. You know, but... Willie, I think we may have talked about this some months ago when the whole stadium thing was swirling and they were just getting down to the nitty gritty. Okay, are we going to vote yes or no on this new stadium? How it's going to look? What, yada yada. We had a discussion, I believe, about how does this team look when a new stadium opens, and if they don't get this right, like. We understand that it's cool to go to the playoffs and everything, but you can't keep losing in the first round because they don't want to open up that new stadium and nothing has changed. When you open up that new stadium, you want there to be like a breath of fresh air, like a rebirth, like the team that is walking in this building, we're going to win the championship.
But is John Robinson what gives this team a breath of fresh air?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that...
Or parting ways with John Robinson?
I think this was a decision if it had continued with them getting bounced in the first round, you know, being good but in a mediocre division.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Is this a decision that Amy's going to have to make with both John Robinson and Mike Vrabel when they move in that new stadium? Right. Like, we can't keep this going.
It's a tough decision for Amy to make. And Mike Vrabel will speak with the media about the decision that was made yesterday to part ways with John Robinson. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel at the podium. Chase Willie, DMAs 1025, 1063, the game. Mike Vrabel is now at the podium addressing the Titans' firing of general manager John Robinson.
I want to thank him for giving me the opportunity to lead this football team on the field, to coach it each and every day. And with that, obviously, change is never easy, but we realize that we all have a job to do. That job is evaluated each and every day. I told the team this. I met with all the staff, and that, you know, we have a personal relationship with John, everybody here in some capacity. So our personal feelings aren't what's important. What's important is that we respect and understand the decision, and that we, you know, move forward aligned and do everything that we can to prepare our players and be great for them as we go out against the Jaguars at home with a division team.
Mike, to follow that up, mm-hmm. Are you going to have more control and personnel decisions?
Ryan Cowden and I will, continue to communicate in that process as we get down the stretch of trying to figure out the active roster, the players that are looking to return from injury. We've made a couple moves here. It's late in the season, so it's usually some guys from somebody's practice squad. So that process isn't going to change.
Where's Amy, Mike, and why in the heels of such a massive move would she not come to talk about it?
Well, I think, let me just say that, we all have tremendous support from Amy, from Kenneth, from Barkley. The infrastructure that they've put in place here with the facilities and the people, I'm confident that, we have their full support, and to do our job and to move forward. Amy made a decision, and made a statement. So all I can say is thanks for her support as we come to work each and every day.
You had mentioned moving forward fully aligned. How you had mentioned moving forward fully aligned. Was there a degree where you guys weren't aligned?
No. I mean, I just, you know, I think I want to be very conscious of that, you know, with every department and every person in this building, whether it be the football team, the equipment staff, the coaching staff, the personnel side. I'm just very conscious of that and want to be respectful of anyone's, you know, personal feelings is, you know, the time that John spent here. That's all my focus is, and just making sure that those are understood, and you know, but also respect the decision and make sure that, you know, we're doing our jobs better today than we did yesterday for the players.
So as far as you and John in the past,
John and I have John and I have a great relationship. I spoke with him at length last night and thanked him for the opportunity, like I said, to coach this football team and to lead this football team. I asked him if there was anything that he wanted me to share with the players, which I did, you know, because the timing of it, you know, I know that, you know, there was things that he wanted to thank the players, you know, for their efforts. And you know, he saw them each and every day. You know, he signed them, he drafted them, and thanked them for what they, you know, went through. You know, and he sees the injury report the same as I do. And he knows that, you know, they go through a lot. And so he wanted to thank them. And I did that.
How much did the, I guess, the way the game went down in Philadelphia Sunday, did that have any impact at all on the timing of this decision?
You know, I know that Amy informed me of the decision. And I can't speak to the timing of it. I can't speak to the decision of it. You know, so I'm sorry I can't help you.
I think those are things that Amy could speak to, which lends again to the question as to where's Amy right now?
Well, I can't, I'm not going to speak to her whereabouts. I think that I can only express the support that she's given us, given me as the head coach, and the communications that we've had since this decision.
Mike, what do you think the message that is being sent here from Amy to you all, but also to the players right now?
I think the message is the same as it's always been, is we're charged to win, to we're here for to win championships, that we all have a job to do, that we're held to a high standard, and that we're evaluated each and every day on that job. And that's the same thing I told the football team and the players this morning.
She said that the roster construction was one of the major reasons. Were there people drafted and signed here who you did not want?
No, again, John and I have and had a great relationship. He, you know, included, I appreciate how he included the coaching staff in the evaluation process. Ultimately, I reported to John. John was the general manager. We communicated each and every day. Our focus is on the roster as it stands today, the guys that we have. The players that we're moving forward with to get ready for Jacksonville.
Do you feel like that roster construction was as much yours as his, or almost?
I think that we're all involved. Everybody here in this building, you know, is responsible to do everything that we can to help the players and make sure that I'm doing my job to prepare them and make sure that the message is clear, the keys to victory each and every week, and how we need to play to win the football game. I'm sorry?
Do you feel like you had enough involvement in the construction of this roster right now?
My focus is clearly on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is like, what do we need to do? Who's going to be available to look back and to reflect? My job was to do everything and to support the personnel staff wherever I could, to make sure I coordinated the coaching staff and ultimately get the players prepared. That goes on this week. You know, I mean, that this is, you know, again, the timing and the change is never easy. We recognize that. You know, we're looking forward to it. The players had an unbelievable attitude. You know, they're looking forward to getting back into football, you know, after having lost. And you know, we try to explain to them that, you know, we started the season 0-2. We won 7 of the next 9 games. We lost, the 2 losses were against the teams that played in the AFC Championship game. After 9 quarters, we lost 2 games by 7 points, and we went on the road and got beat by a better team. And so I want to try to keep things in perspective. I've asked them to do the same thing and understand where we are and the opportunity that lies in front of us.
You just look back there. Doesn't this – this is a massive move for 20-minute conversation off of the Jaguars. That's a fair question. Did you have enough input into the
My message is decision? to the players. You know, that's my focus each and every day, is about them and how I teach them and the message that I try to convey to them. And whatever happened or whatever was in place, the only thing that matters now is what we do going forward.
Mike, was this move a surprise to you?
Again, change is never easy. I'm focused on where we're at right now. I think that, you know, there's surprises that happen each and every day. I respect the decision that Amy and the ownership group made. I appreciate their support as we move forward to play the Jaguars.
How much input do you have on who they name as the new GM?
I think we'll have, I would imagine, I don't know, we'll have conversations. I'll support them and help in the process however I can. We haven't had those conversations. So my focus, again, is now on today and where we're at. I will absolutely fill whatever role or help in any way when the time comes.
What, if any role did you have in the evaluation of John in the rise?
What role did I play in?
I mean, did you assist them at all in the evaluation? You evaluate the entire roster here in the team. Did you help at all in their evaluation of John?
No, I was informed of the decision, and not, I mean, this wasn't a decision that was that included me. It was a decision that was made, you know, and I was informed of that decision.
Who has final say on the roster between you and Ryan?
I mean, I think ultimately Amy does. I would say that, you know, we're just trying right now to work forward to see where we're at with the guys to finish the season. You know, we've signed guys, we've brought guys in, we've signed John Reed, Terrell Basham before that. I don't see that as being something that's even, you know, any sort of issue. You know, I mean, we're trying to find some guys out there that may help us going down a stretch.
If there was an issue, though, that you and Ryan disagreed upon, whose decision would be the decision that ends up being made by the club?
I would imagine that Amy, the person that makes every that would have the final say in every decision if we disagreed, and that's where we would leave it at.
It's a matter of personnel, like signing a linebacker or something?
I think we would consult, you know, with the ownership group, and, you know, I think we would come to a collaborative right now at this point in time. We would come to, you know, a collaborative agreement. I mean, this isn't, you know, I hate to say that, you know, it's going to be the difference. I don't think that's going to come up right now in December.
In the past, you have made comments along the lines, and I'm not saying word for word what you said, but along the lines of you could only coach the players that are provided to you. That could be interpreted as frustration with the roster. So I want to ask you.
Yeah, I would charge you to find that. My job, like I told you, each and every day is to find the guys that we have, find ways to make them better and to reach them on a personal level, to teach, to develop and inspire them to do their job, to make a personal connection with them. You know, I don't think, and I would hesitate to say that's something that I said. So I'm excited about the new guys that we signed, that we're going to get ready to play in this game on Sunday. That's what we've always done. Find 48 guys somehow, some way, to get ready to go win.
Paraphrasing, it was something like, this is how we have to play with what we have. Or to Ed Werder, who the hell would we throw it to if we wanted to throw it a bunch?
Again, I don't know where your question is.
The question is, were you restricted by the personnel that you had?
No, that's coaching. You know, that's coaching is, you know, figure out who's available, who you have, and find ways to win the football game. We're charged to win. And that's all we've ever tried to do is take that approach, put ultimate importance on the players and trying to teach them, understand what wins in this league week to week. And for the most part, we've done a pretty good job at it. And it has to continue to improve. It has to be better in all areas.
The other major hindrance the roster's had has been on account of injuries, which are out of whack with the majority of the league in terms of numbers. Is there a point at which you're determined to get to the bottom beyond bad luck of what's gone on with this team and injuries that's put you in position to have such roster strength?
Yeah, we'll evaluate everything, you know, to try to make sure that, you know, there's nothing more important than the health and safety of our football team. You know, we'll make sure that, you know, we evaluate everything that we do and who's suffering the injuries, where are they occurring, and how best to, one, avoid them if you can, and two, treat them when they occur.
Do you expect to have the same level of input, Mike, with the new GM or more on personnel matters?
You know, my focus today is trying to get this team ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars when those conversations come up. And if I'm asked, then we'll have those conversations. But I'm focused on making sure that we have a great walkthrough, that we go out there to practice, that we get going on these individual drills to fix the technique and the details and the fundamentals that show up when we win, and make sure that they try to execute the keys and work through practice.
John Robinson was fired yesterday, so your focus today on the Jaguars is kind of misplaced in terms of what the news event for the organization is. It's not an unreasonable question to want to know what your input level would be with the new GM.
I think it would, because it's not – my input hasn't been asked, and I don't think that process has started, to the best of my knowledge. So I would imagine that it would. And but I know what my job is. I know what I came here to do today, and that's where my focus is.
Have you had time to sit down with Amy yet? And if not, do you have any plans here in the near future?
Yeah, we've had conversations extensively yesterday, and again, appreciate the support and appreciate the direction and also her leadership that she's shown us, and you know, excited to see her Friday if you know, if she can come to practice and, you know, when she's in town.
Was she adequately informed on the AJ trade?
I'm sorry?
Was Amy adequately informed ahead of time on the AJ trade?
I didn't have conversations with Amy, so I can't speak to that and how that process went. That wasn't something that I did.
She's in the room, correct?
Amy was yeah, I think, to the best of my knowledge, in the draft room, and so, you know, that's I can't answer that.
Are you guys talking openly about the AJ trade in the room?
You know, I mean, I would say that those conversations happened between, you know, John, who was the general manager, and Amy, and whatever ownership group and whatever direction that they wanted to go. You know, that's how those things happen. You know, when you sign players on free agency, or you make trades, or you draft players.
You said at the time that you were on board with the AJ trade when it happened, and that you and John had talked about it and shared a wall. Do you still feel that way about the AJ trade?
Here's what I feel. I feel like, you know, to look back in the past and second guess, like, we made a decision, and that we felt like was in the best interest of the football team, and, you know, the decision and that we wanted ahead at the time. And so, you know, AJ's in Philadelphia, and we're moving forward. Of course, you know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, again, there's decisions, and then when you make decisions, you respect them, and you make sure that, you know, again, we find ways to prepare the players to win, and that we ultimately win, and that we're doing our job, and that we're held to a high standard.
But just to clarify, Mike, then you were in the discussions to some extent at that time on the AJ trade?
I'm pretty much, you know, in my history here, have been aware, I would say, of almost everything that's, you know, happened on a personnel standpoint. There's been, you know, John and I, again, have a great relationship, had a great professional relationship, and that's, you know, that's how things work.
From your discussions with Amy, what's the sense you got for why now, and would you have rather this happened after the season?
Those aren't things that I needed to, you know, ask. It was, I'm prepared to put a plan in place to work with Ryan, to support the staff, everybody, each and every department, the best that I can, and most importantly, put the players first. What they need.
When she makes a decision like that, clearly she wants something to change in the direction. Did she ask you to do anything different or more than you're currently doing?
No, I just continue to lead how I see and what I think is best for the players each and every day, for this staff each and every day.
How long have you been made aware of Amy's, I guess, frustrations with the roster? Has that been something she's been in communication with for a long time?
No, I mean, I was informed, you know, yesterday is of her decision, and that's how, you know, and then we move forward. And then I, you know, started discussing, and they met with Ryan, and we moved forward and tried to get everything going, met with the staff, and, you know, expressed to them, you know, the same things that we've said, you know, since I've been here. Is you have a personal relationship with John, but we also have a professional responsibility to this football team, to the players, to the organization, to do our job as well as we can do it.
Separating the emotions, especially with everything going on as you get ready for the Jaguars, how difficult has it been to separate those emotions the last 72 hours?
It's... You know, I don't know if it's been difficult. It's been something that I've had to certainly manage. And, again, I appreciated the phone call with John last night. Appreciated it a lot, you know. And I just was, you know, after figuring things out yesterday and working through everything.
All right, that was Mike Vrabel's press conference, and we'll get it back. We lost it for just a moment. We'll get Mike Vrabel back at the podium. But so far, where it is right now, Mike Vrabel is insisting a few things. One, he was informed of the firing yesterday when it happened, that he had no input into the decision. He was made aware of any frustrations. He didn't say that he was made aware of frustrations. He just said, I was made aware of the decision yesterday.
He basically, without saying it directly, said it was Amy Adams Strunk's decision. It was her decision, not his decision. Fair to say?
That's what he says.
I mean, if you read everything he's saying, I think that's the message I'm getting, is that he's talked to John Robinson. He's very appreciative. He has a great relationship with John Robinson. Talked to him last night. So, but he would not say he was surprised, not surprised. He was not pinned down on that.
He said, on whether he was surprised with the decision.
He was informed of the decision.
Changes,
and the timing is never easy.
Here's Mike Vrabel.
But we realize that we all have a job to do. That job is evaluated each and every day. I told the team this. I met with all the staff, and that, you know, we have a personal relationship with John, everybody here in some capacity. And so our personal feelings aren't.
All right, we will react to Mike Vrabel's press conference, plus your thoughts as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.